Dear friends in Christ, we know that Lent is a special time to bear our crosses with patience and resignation, as we always should. But when we are in pain of any kind, even if it is slight, we often forget that Christ first bore the cross and that he himself showed us how we are to deal with suffering, trials, and the like. Many a complaint can often escape the lips of even the most fervent Catholics when we are made to undergo hardships. Now, most of the time, these pious followers of Christ only complain unthinkingly. We don't really mean to inquire into the inner workings of the divine majesty or what his line of thinking could possibly be when we ask God why we are suffering such and such a cross. But sometimes we feel that something is just too much to bear. Sometimes in life along comes that cross down the already rocky road to salvation. And when we feel the weight of it, we gasp to Jesus, "Please, Lord, take away this cross from me." And it is true that our Lord himself, as man, asked God to let this chalice pass if it was God's will. So we might well do the same in praying that the trial, the physical pain, the mental suffering, or anguish of soul might pass if it is God's will. And this is the key point to take away, that when God allows a cross to fall on our shoulders, we should be resigned to do God's will no matter what. If we have asked God with attention, humility, and confidence to free us from some affliction, and the cross still remains firmly planted on our shoulders, then let us take courage and realize that God is trying to tell us to carry the cross with him to Calvary, that we might triumph with him in the resurrection. Speaking of drinking from the chalice, or letting it pass away, should that be God's will, we are reminded of the time when the sons of Zebedee approached our Lord and asked that Jesus let them be seated at his right and left in his kingdom. And certainly we know that all the apostles were indignant at this. Every one of them was jealous of that honor, and they were shocked that James and John should petition Jesus so bluntly. I think we can understand why this request seemed to the other apostles like a personal insult. We can almost hear them saying, "They must really think they're better than us." But Jesus said to them, "You know not what you ask for. Can you drink of the chalice that I drink of, or be baptized with the baptism wherewith I am baptized?" And they said, "We can." And our Lord responded, "You shall indeed drink from the chalice of which I am to drink, and the baptism wherewith I am baptized, you shall be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or on my left is not mine to give to you, but to them for whom it is prepared." A sentence full of meaning, to be sure. The first thing we hear is that Christ sounds like he is acquiescing to their request. "Can you drink from this chalice?" our Lord asks. "Yes," they say. And he tells them that they will indeed drink the chalice of which he speaks, but their request is dismissed, because the places at our Lord's right and left are for those for whom it has been prepared. And then in the Garden of Olives, when Jesus is in agony, he pleads to God to let the chalice pass away from him if it is his Father's will. "Not my will, but thine be done." But what then was the chalice and baptism for James and John, the sons of thunder, as they were called? For them, it was martyrdom. They drank of the chalice wherewith our Lord drank. They shed their blood for Christ. They each earned the palm of martyrdom. And I bring up this story because I think it's important to put into perspective our own martyrdom. Yes, in a small way, we too are able to drink of the chalice of Christ by our crosses, even though we have not yet striven unto the shedding of blood. Even though we don't have to endure excruciating pains, we can still drink of the chalice wherewith Christ drank in a figurative way by bearing our crosses. But we look to the saints for inspiration in this, and there are a good many martyrs that we know of and have written down their stories over the ages. And one such martyr was Saint Leo of Patara, maybe a less known martyr, but nonetheless recorded by St. Alphonsus Liguori in his book, The Victories of the Martyrs. And he writes down how he was martyred and his story. St. Leo of Patara for February 18th. At Patara in Lycia, a great festival was once being celebrated in honor of a certain idol, at which a great concourse assembled. some having gone willingly and many through fear, as an edict had been published to that effect. But Saint Leo was a good Christian, and he departed from the city and went to perform his devotions before the relics of Saint Perigorius, who had died for the faith some short time previously. Upon his return home, Saint Perigorius appeared to him in a vision, standing at the opposite side of a torrent, and inviting him to pass over. Saint Leo hence conceived a great hope that he would be honored with martyrdom, and going some days after to make a second visit to the tomb of Saint Perigorius, he passed by the Temple of Fortune, where many lanterns burned before the idol. Impelled by a special impulse of the Holy Ghost, he entered the temple and threw down the lights. But the idolaters, enraged at the insult offered to their idol, raised such a clamor that the governor heard of the affair and ordered that the saint should be brought before him. When Leo made his appearance, the governor rebuked him for the outrage he had committed against the gods in violation of the commands of the sovereign. But the saint, animated with holy zeal, replied, "Thou speakest to me of the gods, as if there were many. But there is one God, and Jesus Christ is his only begotten Son. Since statues of stone and wood are devoid of sense and feeling, of what use can lanterns be to them? If thou hadst the knowledge of the true God, thou wouldst not worship these false deities. Oh, do abandon this vain superstition and adore our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." The governor said, "Thou dost then exhort me to become a Christian? Better it were for thee to conform to the general practice, lest thy rashness be punished as it deserves." The saint, with increased ardor, replied, "I see about me a multitude of those who, blindly persevering in error, despise the true God. But I am a Christian, notwithstanding, and follow the instructions of the apostles. If this deserve chastisement, then award it. For I am determined to suffer every torture rather than become the slave of the devil. Others may do as they please, since they are solicitous merely for the present and are reckless of the future life, which is to be obtained only by sufferings. The scripture tells us that narrow is the way which leadeth to life." The governor observed, "Since then, the way of the Christians is narrow, exchange it for ours, which is wide and commodious." Leo answered, "I have said that the way is narrow because it is one of affliction and of persecutions, suffered for justice's sake. But it is wide enough for those who walk therein, because their faith and hope of an eternal reward make it so to them. The love of virtue maketh that easy which to thee seemeth difficult. On the contrary, the road of vice is in reality narrow and leads to an eternal precipice." And this discourse was most unpalatable to the pagans, who accordingly exclaimed that the impious man who had spoken against their religion should be silenced. The governor then asked Saint Leo whether he would sacrifice, and being answered that his compliance was totally impossible, he ordered him to be scourged. Although this command was most cruelly executed, the saint suffered without a groan, whereupon the governor threatened still greater torments. But the saint answered, "I know not these gods, and I will never sacrifice to them." "At least," said the governor, "say that our gods are great, and I will dismiss thee, for I have compassion upon thy old age." The saint replied, "They are great, for the destruction of those souls that believe in them." The governor, infuriated at this reply, said, "I will order thee to be dragged over stones till thou art torn to pieces." And the saint replied, "I shall welcome any kind of death that procures me the kingdom of heaven and that blessed life which I shall enjoy in company with the saints upon my departure from this world." The tyrant continued to importune him to sacrifice, or at least to acknowledge that the gods could save him from death. The saint replied, "Thou art very weak, since thou dost nothing but threaten, without putting any threats into execution." The populace, being enraged at this reply, obliged the judge to condemn the saint to be tied by the feet and dragged through a torrent. Saint Leo, finding himself about to obtain the accomplishment of his desire to die for Jesus Christ, raised his eyes to heaven and prayed after the following manner. "I thank thee, O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for granting me the graces to follow thy servant Perigorius. I praise thee because thou hast enabled me by martyrdom to cancel my past sins. I commend my soul to the care of thy holy angels, that it may be saved from the perdition prepared for the wicked. I beseech thee, by that which it is my blessed lot to suffer, to have mercy on those who are the cause thereof. And since thou desirest not the death of the sinner, grant them the grace to recognize thee as the Lord of the universe. May all that which I suffer in the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son, redound to thy glory forever and ever. Amen. As soon as he pronounced the word Amen, he rendered up his soul to God and went to enjoy the crown to which St. Perigorius had invited him. The executioners cast the body into a deep pit in order to break it to pieces, but it was taken thence and found entire, with only a few slight bruises, and the face appeared comely and smiling. So, dearly beloved in Christ, the next time we find ourselves struggling under the weight of the cross, and we wish to say, Father, remove this chalice from me, let us be sure to add, but not my will, but thine be done. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.